a European pilot's impressions of an open cockpit cross-country flight across America. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for the download. Today, we'll finish my post-flight conversation with Austrian pilot Chris Kurtz, who along with a friend flew from Boston to San Diego in two open cockpit tandem MT-03 gyroplanes sent over from Europe on a container ship. Chris, let's talk about the flight itself. I think, you know, the logistical challenges, everybody knows that if you did a trip like this, there would be some. But I think obviously what people would be most captured by and look most forward to would be the flying itself. Describe the difference between flying across the U.S. and trying to fly across Europe. I envision there being more regulatory entanglements to make a trip like this of great distance across Europe than there is across the U.S.
I know you would be absolutely right, Paul. The trip across Europe of that dimension, looking at the map, would probably take you from Austria to Pakistan, 5,500 kilometers, about 3,000 miles. That's the distance you'd have to go in Europe, and you wind up in Pakistan. And you can imagine what kind of countries to cross in between, and there is different legislation there, there's different languages there, there's different customs there, and, you know, some very restrictive and some very allowing and lenient. You got the whole spectrum to deal with. Here in America, we experienced aviation freedom par excellence. I don't know if the American listeners and the American flying public here in the States is aware of that treasure they have, this freedom they experience, almost no landing fees, airport availability 24 hours around the clock, whereas in Europe, when you land, for example, in Austria, you can only land at an airport when there is some attendant, when the airport is attended. And after hours, when it would still be perfectly safe to land, you're not allowed to land there. Fuel availability. You can just take your credit card up to the pump and fill her up. You know, all this and a lot more adds up to America being really a very free and open land and very inviting land for flying.
Let me ask you about the impact you think this may have in Europe if people discover and read about it. Do you see a viable option for pilots from Europe to be aero tourists in the United States?
I think they already are. There's a lot of European people coming here to get their licenses here. A lot of people coming here for a week or 2 weeks of vacation and flying planes here. Certainly in the fixed wing arena, there are a lot of people already taking advantage of the benefits of America as a flying destination. As far as gyros go, the American gyro scene is not highly regarded for one reason or another in Europe. The main reason, of course, being that what you find in America are 98% kit-built or home-built gyros, and they have the image of flying lawn chairs with a rotor attached to them. And my personal mission would be to unite both advantages of the European movement with the American movement, because the American movement has a lot of enthusiasm, has a lot of knowledge, and a lot of grassroots power, whereas the European side is, you know, a lot of quality machines, very safe to fly, proven designs. Innovation is very big there, but there is very little of the excitement and grassroots power that I perceive here in the United States. And those two could come together. If those twain could meet, we would have a really explosive mixture in the best meaning of the word.
All right, tell us about the cost. One of the big debates raging in the U.S. right now is over an overhaul of the manner in which our federal regulators are funded. There are those in the government who want to switch from a tax-based system, which derives income from small aircraft through a fuel tax, to a user fee system. How much bother is that really for someone flying a small aircraft in Europe? Is this a significant deal?
Oh, yes, I experienced the difference firsthand. If it's user-based, essentially what you're down to is you have to pay landing fees, and you have to pay usage fees for ATC and flight following and all navigational aids that you're using. This is, you know, even though it might be perceived as being fair because only the group who's using it is actually paying for it, it creates a huge administrative burden and hassle. So, but overall, I guess the burden on the taxpayer might not be much lower, and it might actually not be a lot. It might be a lot less efficient than if you do it the way that you have it here.
We'll be back for more with gyroplane adventurer Chris Kurtz in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack talking with Chris Kurtz, an Austrian pilot who, with friend Robert Nunes, just completed a transcontinental trip from Boston to San Diego in a pair of open cockpit gyroplanes. Chris, now that this trip has been so successful, has it inspired any ambitious plans for the future?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's about the most talked of topic between Robert, my friend, who accompanied me on this trip, and myself in the past couple of days. What other challenges could we rise up to? Particularly thinking about the homeopathic side, we want to link the homeopathic remedy search with the excitement of flying. And there's a couple of alternatives. One that ranks among the top would be a flight along the west coast of the state, maybe from, San Diego up to Alaska. And we don't know which way it might go. It might go from Alaska coming down southwards or the other way up through Canada. We don't know yet, but that would be very interesting.
Well, it's going to be fascinating, I'm sure, to a lot of people if you attempt that flight in an open cockpit machine. We will stay tuned and find out how you deal with the temperatures you may encounter at elevation up in the far north there. Tell us a little bit about the manufacturer's support here, because you apparently owned one MT-03 and the manufacturer provided a second one specifically for this trip. How did that work out?
Yeah, I want to say my big thanks to the manufacturer of the MT-03s. We only have one gyro. We co-own one gyro, and of course we're pretty big guys, both of us, over 6 foot. And with luggage, one gyro would just not have lugged us around, certainly not across the Grand Canyon at 12,000 feet. So we needed two gyros. We couldn't afford another gyro. The manufacturer sponsored us the use of one gyro for this trip, which I'm very grateful for. And apparently he's very happy with the response he's getting. And I guess, as you already mentioned, he's trying to establish the legality around selling the MT-03s here in the States as ready certified aircraft. And of course, before that becomes viable, they need to be perceived as aircraft that have some use, that are safe, and they're fun to fly. And I hope this trip has gone some ways towards achieving that goal.
All right. Now, you mentioned briefly the search for biological sources for homeopathic remedies. Tell us a little bit about how that went. I know from reading your daily journals that you stopped in a few places to find plant species that were not easily available to you to experiment with back in Europe.
Yes. Well, you have to know that homeopathy is a natural alternative therapy that relies on natural sources, plant, animal, minerals, mostly, to make remedies out of. And homeopathy is very big in the States, and it used to be very big in the early days of homeopathy, late 19th century, early 20th century, when a lot of the new remedies then were actually made from sources available in North America. So then they're still being used as sources for homeopathic remedies all over the world. So if a homeopathic pharmacy wants to stay on top and provide their customers with first-rate quality remedies, they need to go where the remedies were originally taken from and gather and collect them from there. And that's one quest that Robert, of course, is undertaking. We've planned several stops along the way in botanical gardens, like the Missouri Botanical Garden in St. Louis, or the Quail Botanical Garden up north of San Diego, or we've contacted, for example, the National Bison Association, and Brandon Evans, a member in Colorado of that association, because we wanted to collect also new remedies. One of those new remedies was our idea of a bison remedy that would be the semen or the sperm taken from a male bison bull. We haven't managed that because apparently they're not artificially inseminated, and getting the sperm from bison bull is not something you would undertake lightly. It needs a lot of planning.
Yes, and making sure you can clear the fence when you're done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we're still hoping to get this one, and we see a route to getting that, obtaining this, and maybe have it by August this year.
Well, Chris, it's been great fun following your adventure ever since it began in December. We'll refer our listeners both to the thread on the forum and also the thread on the commercial website in Europe. By all means, please let us know if you're planning another trip like this, because it was great fun to follow.
You'll be the first ones to know.
Chris Kurse has been my guest. You can read the daily journal of his trip and find high-resolution photos at www.remedia.at. Click on the thumbnail of the red MT-03 gyroplane captioned Remedy Search 2009. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.